Hyperion, Book 1. Deep in the shady sadness of a vale, far sunken from the healthy breath of morn, far from the fiery noon and Eve's one star, sat gray-haired Saturn, quiet as a stone, still as the silence round about his lair. Forest on forest hung about his head, like cloud on cloud. No stir of air was there, not so much life, as on a summer's day, robs not one light seed from the feathered grass, but where the dead leaf fell, there did it rest. A stream went voiceless by, still deadened more by reason of his fallen divinity. Spreading a shade, the naiad mid her reeds pressed her cold finger closer to her lips. Along the margin sand, large foot marks went, no further than to where his feet had strayed and slept there since. Upon the sodden ground, his old right hand lay nerveless, listless, dead, unsceptered, and his realmless eyes were closed, while his bowed head seemed listening to the earth, his ancient mother, for some comfort yet. It seemed no force could wake him from his place, but there came one who with a kindred hand touched his wide shoulders after bending low, with reverence, though to one who knew it not. She was a goddess of the infant world. By her in statue, the tall Amazon had stood a pygmy's height. She would have taken Achilles by the hair and bent his neck, or with a finger stayed Ixion's wheel. Her face was large as that as Memphian Sphinx, pedestaled haply in a palace court. When sages looked to Egypt for their lore, but oh, how unlike marble was that face! How beautiful! If sorrow had not made sorrow more beautiful than beauty's self. There was a listening fear in her regard, as if calamity had but begun, as if the vanward clouds of evil days had spent their maleficence and their sullen rear. Was with its stored thunder laboring up, one hand she pressed upon that aching spot where beats the human heart, as if just there. Though an immortal, she felt cruel pain. The other upon Saturn's bended neck she laid, and to the level of his ears, leaning with parted lips, some words she spake in solemn tenor and deep organ tone. Some morning words, which in our feeble tongue would come in like all the accents. Oh, how frail to that large utterance of the early gods. Saturn, look up, through wherefore, poor old king. I have no comfort for thee, no, not one. I cannot say, oh, wherefore sleepest thou? For heaven is parted from thee, and the earth knows thee not, thus afflicted for a god. And ocean, too, with all its solemn noise, has thy scepter passed, and all the air is emptied from thine hoary majesty. Thy thunder, conscious of the new command, rumbles reluctant over our fallen house. And thy sharp lightning in unpracticed hands scorches and burns our once serene domain. O waking time, O moments big as years, all as ye pass swell out the monstrous truth, and press it so upon our weary griefs, that unbelief has not a space to breathe. Saturn, sleep on. O thoughtless, why did I thus violate thy slumberous solitude? Why should I ope to melancholy thy eyes? Saturn, sleep on, while at thy feet I weep. As when upon a trance summer night, those green-robed senators of mighty woods, tall oaks, branch-charmed by the earnest stars, dream and so dream all night without a stir, save from one gradual solitary gust, which comes up upon the silence and dies off, as if the ebbing air had but one wave, so came these words and went. The while in tears she touched her fair large forehead to the ground, just where her falling hair might be outspread, a soft and silken mat for Saturn's feet. One moon, with alteration slow, had shed her silver seasons four upon the night, and still these two were postured motionless, like natural sculpture in the cathedral cavern, the frozen god still couchant on the earth, and the sad goddess weeping at his feet. Until at length old Saturn lifted up his faded eyes and saw his kingdom gone, and all the gloom and sorrow of the place, and that fair kneeling goddess, spake, as with a palsied tongue, and while his beard shook horrid with such aspy malady. O tender spouse of gold Hyperion, Taya, I feel thee ere I see thy face. Look up, and let me see our doom in it. Look up, and tell me if this feeble shape is Saturn's. Tell me, if thou hear'st the voice of Saturn. Tell me, if this wrinkling brow, naked and bare of its great diadem, peers like the front of Saturn. Who had power to make me desolate? Whence came the strength? How was it nurtured to such bursting forth, while fate seemed strangled in my nervous grasp? But it is so, and I am smothered up, and buried from all godlike exercise of influence benign on planets pale, of admonitions to the winds and the seas, of peaceful sway above man's harvesting, and all those acts which deity supreme doth ease its heart of love in. I am gone away, away from my own bosom. I have left my strong identity, my real self, somewhere between the throne and where I sit here upon this spot of earth. Search, Taya, search. Open thine eyes a turn and sphere them round upon all space. Space starred and lorn of light, space regioned with life air and barren void, spaces of fire and all the yawn of hell. Search, Taya, search. And tell me, if thou seest a certain shape or shadow making way with wings or chariot fierce to repossess a heaven he lost erewhile, it must be ripe of progress. Saturn must be king. Yes, there must be a golden victory. There must be gods thrown down and trumpets blown of triumph calm and hymns of festival upon golden clouds metropolitan. Voices of soft proclaim and silver stir of strings and hollow shells, and there shall be beautiful things made new for the surprise of the sky children. I will give command. Taya, 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 where is Saturn? This passion lifted him upon his feet and made his hands to struggle in the air, his druid locks to shake and ooze with sweat, his eyes to fever out, his voice to cease. He stood and heard not Taya's sobbing deep a little time, and then again he'd snatched utterance thus. But cannot I create? Can I not form? Can I not fashion forth another world, another universe to overbear and crumble this to naught? Where is another chaos? Where? That word found way unto Olympus and made quake the rebel three. Taya was startled up, and in her bearing was a sort of hope, as thus she quick-voiced spake, yet full of awe. This cheers our fallen house. Come to our friends, O Saturn. Come away and give them heart. I know the covert, for thence came I hither. Thus brief, then with beseeching eyes, she went with backward footing through the shade a space. He followed, and she turned to lead the way through aged boughs that yielded like the mist which eagles cleave up mounting from their nest. Meanwhile, in other realms, big tears were shed. More sorrow like to this, and such like woe, too huge for mortal tongue or pen of scribe. The Titans fierce, self-hid or prison-bound, groaned for the old allegiance one more, and listened in sharp pain for Saturn's voice. But one of the whole mammoth brood still kept his sovereignty and rule and majesty. Blazing Hyperion, on his orbed fire, still sat, still snuffed the incense, teeming up from man to the sun's god, yet unsecure. For as among us mortals omens drear fright and perplex, so also shuddered he. Not at dog's howl or gloom bird's hated screech or the familiar visiting of one. Upon the first toll of his passing bell or prophesizings of the midnight lamp, but horrors portioned to a giant nerve, oft made Hyperion ache. His palace bright bastioned with pyramids of glowing gold and touched with shade of bronzed obelisks glared a blood red through all its thousand courts, arches and domes and fiery galleries and all its curtains of auroran clouds flushed angrily while sometimes eagles' wings, unseen before God or wandering men, darkened the place and neighing steeds were heard. Not heard before by gods or wandering men. Also, when he would taste the spicy wreaths of incense breathed aloft from sacred hills instead of sweets, his ample palate took savor of poisonous brass and metal sick. And so, when harbored in the sleepy west, after the full completion of fair day, for rest divine upon exalted couch and slumber in the arms of melody, he packed away the pleasant hours of ease with stride colossal, on from hall to hall, while far within each aisle and deep recess, his winged minions in close clusters stood amazed and full of fear, like anxious men who on wide plains gather in panting troops, when earthquakes jar their battlements and towers. Even now, while Saturn, roused from icy trance, went step for step with Taya through the woods, Hyperion, leaving twilight in the rear, came slope upon the threshold of the west. Then, as was wont, his palace door flew open, in smoothest silence save what solemn tubes blown by the serious zephyrs gave of sweet and wandering sounds, slow-breathed melodies, and like a rose in vermeil tint and shape and fragrance soft and coolness to the eye, that inlet to severe magnificence stood full-blown for the god to enter in. He entered, but he entered full of wrath. His flaming robe streamed out beyond his heels and gave a roar as if of earthly fire that scarred away the meek ethereal hours and made their dove wings tremble. On he flared, from stately nave to nave, from vault to vault, through bowers of fragrant and enwreathed light, and diamond-paved lustrous long arcades until he reached the great main cupola. There stood fierce beneath his stamped foot, and from the basements deep to the high towers jarred his own golden region, and before the quavering thunder thereupon had ceased, his voice leapt out, despite of godlike curb, to this result. O dreams of day and night, O monstrous forms, O effigies of pain, O specters busy in a cold, cold gloom, O lank-eared phantoms of black-weeded pools, why do I know ye? Why have I seen ye? Why is my eternal essence thus distraught to see and to behold these horrors new? Saturn is fallen. Am I too to fall? Am I to leave this haven of my rest, this cradle of my glory, this soft clime, this calm luxuriance of blissful light, these crystalline pavilions and pure fanes of all my lucent empire? Is it left deserted, void, nor any haunt of mine? The blaze, the splendor, and the symmetry I cannot see, but darkness, death and darkness. Even here, into my center of repose, the shady visions come to domineer, insult, blind, and stifle upon my pomp. Fall, no, by Tellus and her briny robes, over the fiery frontier of my realms, I will advance a terrible right arm, shall scare that infant thunderer, rebel Jove, and bid old Saturn take his throne again. He spake, and ceased. The while a heavier threat held struggle with his throat, but came not forth. For as in theaters of crowded men hubbub increases more, they call out, hush. So at Hyperion's words, the phantoms pale bestirred themselves, thrice horrible and cold, and from the mirrored level where he stood a mist arose, as from a scummy marsh. At this, through all his bulk and agony, crept gradual, from the feet unto the crown, like a lithe serpent, vast and muscular, making slow way, with head and neck convulsed from overstrained might. Released, he fled to the eastern gates, and full 6 dewy hours before the dawn in season dew should blush, he breathed a fierce breath against the sleepy portals. Cleared them of vapors, burst them wide, suddenly on the ocean's chilly stream, the planet orb of fire whereon he rode, each day from the east to the west the heavens through, spun round in sable curtaining of clouds, not therefore veiled quite, blindfold and hid, but ever and anon the glancing spheres, circles and arcs and broad belting color, glowed through and wrought upon the muffling dark. Sweet-shaped lightnings from the nadir deep up to the zenith, hieroglyphics old, which sages and keen-eyed astrologers then living on the earth with laboring thought won from the gaze of many centuries. Now lost, save what we find on remnants huge of stone or marble swart, their import is gone. Their wisdom long since fled. Two wings this orb possessed for glory, two fair argent wings, ever exalted at the gods' approach. And now, from forth the gloom, their plumes immense rose one by one till all outspreaded were, while still the dazzling globe maintained eclipse, waiting for Hyperion's command. Fain would he have commended, fain took throne, and bid the day begin, if not but for change. He might not. No, though a primeval god, the sacred seasons might not be disturbed. Therefore the operation of the dawn stayed in their birth, even as here 'tis told. Those silvery wings expanded sisterly, eager to sail their orb, the porches wide, opened upon the dusk dimensions of night and the bright Titan, frenzied with new woes. On us to bend, by hard compulsion bent, his spirit to the sorrow of the time, and all along a dismal rack of clouds, upon the boundaries of day and night, he stretched himself in grief and radiance faint. There he lay, the heaven with its stars, looked down upon him with pity in the voice of Colus from the universal space, thus whispered, low and solemn in his ear. O brightest of my children dear, earth born and sky engendered, son of mysteries, all unrevealed even to the powers which met at thy creating, at whose joys and palpitations sweet and pleasures soft, I, Colus, wonder how they came and whence, and at the fruits therefore what shapes they be, distinct and visible, symbols divine, manifestations of that beautiful life diffused unseen throughout eternal space. Of these new formed art thou, O brightest child, of these thy brethren and the goddesses. There is a sad feud among thee, and rebellion of son against his sire. I saw him fall. I saw my firstborn tumbled from his throne. To me his arms were spread. To me his voice found way from forth the thunders round his head. Pale walks I, and in vapors hid my face. Art thou too near such doom? Vague fear there is. For I have seen my sons unlike gods. Divine ye were created, and divine in sad demeanor, solemn, undisturbed, unruffled, like high gods, ye lived and ruled. Now I behold you in fear, hope, and wrath, actions of rage and passion, even as I see them on the mortal world beneath in men who die. This is grief, O son. Sad signs of ruin, sudden dismay and fall. Yet do thou strive as thou art capable, as thou canst move about, an evident god, and canst oppose to each malignant hour ethereal presence. I am but a voice. My life is but the life of winds and tides. No more than winds and tides can I avail. But thou canst. Be thou, therefore, in the van of circumstance. Yea, seize the arrow's barb before the tense string murmur to the earth. For there thou wilt find Saturn and his woes. Meanwhile, I will keep watch on thy bright sun, and of thy seasons be a careful nurse, ere half this region whisper had come down. Hyperion arose, and on the stars lifted his curved lids and kept them wide until it ceased, and still he kept them wide, and still they were the same bright, patient stars. Then with a slow decline of his broad breast, like to a diver in the pearly seas. Forward he stooped over the airy shore, then plunged all noiseless into the deep night.